College football fans, welcome back to the College Ball Show. He's Marshall, I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss what else? College football, right? Now, we had some fun games last week, no doubt about it. Some interesting games when it came to week 11. We had some games that were kind of surprising. I mean, Wisconsin just beat up. They had Mertz back. That's the one we were wondering about, but they just destroyed Michigan, and it is, I mean, it's looking bad. But there's a variety of things that we're going to talk about when it comes to week 11, but 15 different games postponed or suspended. If you're in the Big Ten or if you're in the Pac-12, they're basically just gone. They're just done. They're canceled, I should say, not suspended, but canceled. And then, of course, there are some postponed, but 15. I mean, we've started there for a while with five or six. Then we shrunk it down to two, I think, back-to-back weeks, jumped up to six. But, man, 15 freaking games. And there was only, like, three last Monday. So who knows what's going to happen. I know Miami, who came from behind again against Virginia Tech. The last 2 weeks, they've had 11 players out, and then this last week, 13. And it's getting to the point that it's so close, and now Georgia Tech's having some issues, that they're going to shut down for 2 weeks. And they've put the Georgia Tech game to December 19th. So they'll play that game as long as Miami isn't in the ACC final. You know, if they're in the final, then they'll play that game. If not, which it doesn't look like it with Notre Dame and Clemson, but I guess you could, you know, you never know. But Indiana, wow. I mean, they got a big game coming up. We'll talk about that later in the show. But 24-0. Yeah, is Michigan State great? No, but 24-0? Man, Indiana is on a freaking mission this year. SMU got upset by Tulsa, USC. Speaking of the last two or three minutes of a game, they look good in those at that time. So we're going to talk, like I said, a variety of games for week 11. And then we got to look towards week 12, which Big Ten, this is a huge week in the Big Ten. Number 3, Ohio State versus number 9, Indiana. And it's a 20-point spread. We'll obviously talk about that game in the spread. Wisconsin and Northwestern, number 10. Against number 19, it does look like Northwestern has their every 3 to 4 year type squad. Wisconsin's favored, but not by a whole lot. Oklahoma State is another ranked versus ranked. As of right now, there's only a handful of games postponed, but like I said, we'll keep you posted on that. So we're going to get into this in just a second. If this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, welcome. Streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. It streams live at archives. But you know, to listen to this College Ball Show, you don't have to go to Blog Talk and Ropeadope Radio and download the show or listen to the browser. You can find the platform Ropeadope Radio Podcast at Apple Podcast, on iHeartRadio. Player FM is another spot that we get a good amount of listens. Tune in, Stitcher, really across the board almost. We're also part of the Grilling Truth Sports Podcast Network, which can be found almost everywhere, including Spotify. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegrillingtruth.com. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting the cord or you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called AT&T TV Now. It's live streaming cable. They do have this 7-day free trial, no annual contract. The plans start as low as $55 a month. You can stream it anywhere. They have the cloud DVR, of course. Right now, just for signing up, you get a 30-day free trial of HBO Max. Here's another layer. Then we're going to get into week 11. If you get the Max package, that'll include HBO Max plus a free month of Showtime, which is normally $11 a month. That's AT&T TV Now. Like I said, live streaming cable. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host Marshall and see how he's doing down I-35 all the way down in Texas. What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm having a good day. It's just one more week of teaching, then we get Thanksgiving break off. I don't know, this year's been so weird. It's just the kids are just kind of like going through the motions. I kind of am like the teaching life hasn't been that stressful, and I'm back to coaching again with basketball, but you know, you got to be careful about COVID, and you got to just, it's just a different kind of year. So I'm looking forward to next week off, and there's actually quite a bit of college football spaced out next week, where there's a couple of games Tuesday, Wednesday, and there's like a Friday AM game. So I'm looking forward to next week of just regrouping and then making it till Christmas. The numbers in Dallas, as you'd expect, Chris, are not looking too good. We had like 1,800 cases in Dallas yesterday, which is kind of scary. So, but oh well, we still got college football to talk about. I'm gonna save my my boy for a little bit because he was on SportsCenter, but I want that's what they call a tease. So we're gonna get to my guy in a little bit. But it was not exactly the most fun week of college football, but there were still some games on to watch. Like it was just kind of an average week, which means this week's going to be good. We rarely ever have back-to-back college football weeks where nothing crazy happens. I will give credit because we've talked a lot this year about teams having let down spots and how teams have kind of gone against that trend. Credits Notre Dame, okay? Again, you beat Clemson. You had one of your best wins in the past 15 years, many could say. And you're going to face a BC team, Chris, who is respectable. They're not great, but they're an above-average team. And it was the red bandana game for BC, which the short story on that is when 9/11 happened, I believe it was a BC lacrosse player who went up the building a couple of times to save people's lives in one of the buildings. And they found his red bandana because he unfortunately didn't make it through. So it's kind of become a tradition. They have like the red bandana game. So obviously they were focused that game, but Notre Dame didn't have a letdown. Like it would have been such a typical college football type game, brother, for Notre Dame to upset Clemson. You're riding high, everything's looking good. And then you go face a BC team that's motivated. And actually BC's quarterback was pretty much tossed on. BC's quarterback is on BC. Because he pretty much got kicked out the door for Ian Book. There's lots of angles there, but credits to the Irish. That could have been a slip-up game. They won 45-31. But for the last couple of weeks now, we've had teams who we thought, whether it be Notre Dame or Indiana, who could have a slip-up, and they've avoided that thing, which is not always that common to see in college football, my friend.
That is a good point. That's a very good point. And it was kind of a flashback because back in the day, Notre Dame, I believe it was beat Florida State, if I remember correctly, on a field goal. But then they turned around and played Boston College, and Boston College ended up beating them on a field goal. So that could have, you know, that was another layer to that. And Boston College, to their credit, came out pretty strong, looked pretty good. They just got beat by a better team. They have a lot of experience. And now we know Kelly, just not after that, but just in general, Kelly's not going anywhere when it comes to Notre Dame, which has always been kind of the talk. Speaking of going somewhere, Michigan, listen to this. The largest halftime deficit at home, basically since Michigan Stadium opened in 1927, Marshall. I mean, wow. Sure, you get Mertz back, but you know, he's gonna be there for the next couple of years, and he didn't have some kind of phenomenal game or whatever, but you gave up. I mean, you gave up 341 rushing yards and 5 touchdowns. You had a burger 15-87. You had this Chanel 6-71. That's 11.8 per carry. Another dude, Watson, 12-65. Davis the third, 7-65. Why not throw him in? Oh, Dyke, 1 carry, 30 yards. Like, I mean, it was just an utter beatdown. And if you look at it, 3 carries to their main, Michigan, to their main guy, 3 freaking carries for 20. I mean, this game was over before it started. And at this time, 26-10, just in first downs, dude. And Michigan turned the ball over twice from interceptions, 40-20 for time of possession. I mean, Wisconsin could have came out a little rusty because they had to take a break from practice. So it's like, I mean, the writing's on the wall, isn't it? He's done. He's got to be done this year.
May I propose, because another coach in the Big Ten is also over, do we do a James Franklin, Jim Harbaugh swap? You know, there used to be that show called Wife Swap. Do we do a Big Ten coach swap, Chris?
I mean, they're both going to be in there with Ohio State and now Indiana maybe. But, you know, so why I wouldn't go back to that division. That's the only thing that's holding my hope for PJ Fleck not going to Michigan State or Penn State now, I guess. But I think that's a little bit less. But Michigan, it's like, I don't know. Maybe they don't want to have to go to through Ohio State. You know, maybe Fleck's like, you know what? I like it over here. I'm not going to go to where I have to get through Ohio State just to get to the conference final. That's the only thing I'm hoping on, because right now that seat is beyond hot, dude. I mean, it's on fire. He hasn't even sat in the damn chair the whole year.
I want to say I'm pretty sure I remember, and I'll call myself out. When Harbaugh first got fired, I remember making like a bar bet verbally. I was like, dude, I bet you Michigan's going to win a title in 3 to 4 years. I think that was his first year there, just because you had the idea of, okay, Harbaugh was a great coach for the 49ers. Like he took them to the Super Bowl, and like his brother's a great coach. Like, and you're like, dude, a top edged NFL coach is going to coach a college team. And like,
well,
he was there,
same
like,
with Stanford too. He had success with Stanford.
Yeah.
And so it's like you know, he already had success at both levels. It seemed like a perfect fit. And it was for a while, you know?
And his recruit, he's like playing video games, like having like sleepovers with the recruits. Like everything, he's just playing, you know, the cool young coach everyone loves, and everything was going good. And as you said, Chris, there was those two controversial plays, which both went against him in versus Ohio State. Now, if one flips, who knows? But we can't change history in sports. Just like I would love to take away the Villanova fucking half-court shot against my Tar Heels, but they are what they are. And this year is just getting really, really bad. I mean, you know, it's one thing for Michigan to go 9-3 and lose to Ohio State. That's kind of become the regular ho-hum Michigan year. But first of all, you can't even play 12 games this year. Second of all, you already got more than three losses. You can't win nine. I mean, this is a bad, bad year. And the pressure's been on for a long time to beat Michigan, which they've not been able to do. Beat Ohio State. And now you come out the gates and you're just flat. This has been an awful, awful football team so far. So I'm not sure. I mean, maybe, you know, there is something to be said for sometimes these schools have such proud tradition that you won't fire a coach midseason.
Oh, sure.
So maybe the writing is on the wall. Maybe the only way he keeps his job, Chris, is to beat Ohio State this year. But or maybe they're like, dude, let's let you finish the year. We don't want to pull this. Like, it's such a weird year anyways. Like, let's just pull the plug on Harbaugh at the end of the year. Because, you know, are you going to find a new coach right now to replace him? No. Like, not with the way this year's going. But just from my perspective, I know no one from Michigan, but I got to imagine it's probably like 75-25 now that Harbaugh's done after the year. I mean, he's always had the, oh, we're so close games. And now this year's not even we're so close. This year's like, dude, this year is shit. Like, you and Penn State are struggling, and you're not even being competitive. And again,
but at least what's-his-toes got did get over the hump and did go to the Rose Bowl and did do something. You know what I mean? Like,
true.
Michigan just never did, you know, with Harbaugh.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Franklin had a run, and he obviously had the freaking joy of having Saquon Barkley on his team, which, I mean, that helped him. But, yeah, but Harbaugh's had time to recruit his people. This was his first ever true quarterback, and this offense is worse than the offenses he adopted or inherited. So, I don't know. But, yeah, if you're a Michigan fan, you got to be pulling out your hair. Again, you brought in a high-profile coach with a ton of great experience. It hasn't worked out. I think you got to pull the plug after this year and just restart. Like, what I don't see, Chris, I don't see them reaching the ceiling. I feel like if Harbaugh was going to take this team to the finals, like, I don't think we're going to go to this year and then boom, next year Michigan's back. I don't see this trend reversing shortly. But honestly, since I remember when I was like, you know, a young kid, like when I first started watching sports, I remember when I was like 9, 10, 11, and I'm 35. Now, there was some aura and mystique of Michigan. And in the past 15 years, it really has kind of just been, well, you know the name. Because, I mean, I remember starter jackets were cool, like the Michigan gear, like the Charles the Woodson, helmet. Like the helmet, the crowd, everything about them kind of had an aura to it. But really, in the past 15 years, you've just seen a team who's gone from above average, but never great. Like, there's just, it's slowly been creeping down to, like, okay, you still know the name. You still remember, like, the Fab Five and see, you know, Chris Webber and all that stuff. But there's not been as many proud moments. And again, as Michigan alumni, you got to be like, dude, like, we need to get back on the map like we were 20 years ago. And Harbaugh's not doing it. So let's cut our ties and move on. And I think that's the approach you got to take. Again, watch this will be the year where he does beat Ohio State, and then that earns him another year of grace.
I mean, their basketball team the last 10 years has been way better.
True. Yeah.
The only thing I think of Michigan right now is his khakis, maybe, and always he's going to Europe in the summer and all that, usually, right? But I also just think of that same dude in those back-to-back years with his hands up on his head, that fan in the crowd, where he's just like, what just happened? And I did, because that first one, Michigan State, at like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, whatever. It just bad. But anyway, let's move on. Cincinnati kept it rolling. They got an interesting game coming up. They put up 55. The quarterback's on fire. Like we said, Notre Dame kept it moving, got to 45-31. Florida, 63 freaking points. I mean, like we said, it's not the air raid. It's not Mississippi State. But Florida is the one taking over offensively by storm anyway right now. 63-35. Like we mentioned, Indiana came out real strong, 24-0. They could have had a letdown. They didn't. Oregon kind of played with their food with Washington State and then kind of didn't run them over, but clearly won 43-29. That was actually an interesting game. We did have an upset, SMU Tulsa. Tulsa's a good club. That's one of those where I was looking at like, that might be a tough game there. And sure enough, Tulsa beat them. Liberty kept it rolling. Northwestern in a competitive game. Purdue scored late, 27-20. Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, they actually clinched their conference with a win. And then USC comes back yet again. I mean, the amount of touchdowns they score in the last 2 minutes is pretty impressive. USC 34-30. Let's talk about USC and maybe some other stuff. Oh, I didn't talk about Miami. Miami came back. They were down 14-3 and then down two scores. I can't remember what the score was somewhere late in the third quarter, but they ended up winning 25-24. But Miami, like I mentioned, had 11 people out last week against NC State and got by. They had 13 out, two offensive linemen, their best linebacker again, a couple of just good contributors, one starter on defense line, but most of them were contributors. But the defense tightened up down the stretch, and the offense behind King did their thing. And King, I mean, they're giving up a lot of sacks. I think they're like fifth or sixth worst in the country, Miami. And King is still producing. So they got it done 25-24. But here's the deal. They had a couple more, not just positives, but now it's contract tracing. And so they're actually going to shut down. They're not going to play next week. They're going to take a two-week break. The Hurricanes. So that's one thing right there. That's another messed up thing. But, hey, your USC is getting the job done, and then it does kind of feel like Northwestern. They got a big game coming up we'll talk about in just a second. But Northwestern, Purdue, both of them undefeated. Northwestern looked strong that whole game.
Yeah, and I'm kicking myself because I made a couple of bets on that game, and I went with my second bet and clicked on it. I should have gone with the first one. I should have taken –
what were the bets?
I was trying to bet Northwestern to win the game overall during the game live. And I was like, I'm just going to play it out a little bit more. And then I bet that, I bet Purdue like wouldn't score X amount of points in the first half. And I was like, man, you know, they're Northwestern, the control. There's no way this Purdue offense gets going. And on a 4th-and-1, Purdue draws up this play where they lose track of the tight end, comes back across the field, and the linebacker was going to pick up the tight end on the play, gets picked by the ref. Some freaking old homeboy tight end catches the ball 44 yards later, touchdown. I'm like, you got to be shitting me. Like, damn umpire being in the way. So,
just like they drew it up.
Yeah, the good old double tight end outs, umpire pick play. That ended up costing me a bet, but so be it. Oh, well. yeah, credit to them. Northwestern does look like, and again, another Big Ten team who they've always kind of had the same MO, Chris, as Indiana. We're always competitive, always good, can never quite beat the big team. It does seem like once every 4 years, Northwestern beats Ohio State, but or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, and they get to the conference final. That's a little different than Indiana.
Yeah, yeah.
Better runs. Sure. They won the Big Ten in the last 20 years.
You're right. But, I mean, they're having a good, respectable year, where I think that Fitzgerald, for all we know, it seems like a pretty damn good coach. I think because, again, you can't get – he doesn't get the SEC athletes because the academic requirements for Northwestern are slightly higher than some good old boys schools in downtown SEC. So, yeah, credit to Northwestern. That's a good win. They're still in the running just like Indiana is. It's kind of fun to leave out Penn State and Michigan. It is kind of cool to talk about different names. I don't mind that at all. And for USC, I do kind of mind them winning. Like, I still want Clay Helton gone. You've now had to have in your first game of the year, and again, I don't think the point spreads are truly indicative yet just because they've barely played, but USC was a 13-point favorite, I believe, week one against Arizona State. You had to score late, recover a miracle onside kick, score again, and win. This last game, you had to score 30 seconds to go when you're a 12-point favorite. Like, I'm happy they won, but we've now had to come from behind against two teams who Vegas says we should be much better than. But this is still just a resemblance of Clay Helton is not a coach meant to run USC. But we're 2-0 now, so I'm sure the people who want Clay to stay there are going to keep him staying there because, hey, you're winning games. We're winning games, but shit, we're doing it last second. And we've learned throughout the years this is a trend that doesn't go away. If you're always a late second team, it's really hard to run the whole table with last second wins. Besides that year where it was the freaking – year was the crab legs against Superman Cam Newton. Both of those teams that year, Chris, were late second teams, but it's really hard to make a deep run in college football if you're always winning late second. So again, I'm happy they're 2-0, but I wish they were 0-2 because that would put more pressure on the hot seat for Clay Helton to get out of town.
I could tell you're really happy about the 2-0. Nebraska beat Penn State 30-23. North Carolina 59-53. That freaking was crazy. Kentucky Vanderbilt, that was a fun game, 38-35. There was some that Colorado Stanford game, 35-32. Colorado won. That was actually a fun little competitive game. The Baylor Texas Tech, we'll talk about. That was, of course, the crafty crappy pick of the week closes out the show, but they generally are really good games, even though they're crappy. Washington hung on. 27-21 over Oregon State. And just a couple of, little notes and stuff. Trask, the QB for Florida. First Florida player ever to have two games in one season with six touchdowns, passing touchdowns, I should say. Indiana's now 4-0 in the Big Ten for the first time since 1987. And just more on that Michigan loss, tied for the team's largest loss in AP history. There was also the 50th anniversary of the Marshall plane crash that happened. 75 players, coaches, and fans passed away in the crash November 14, 1970. So they wore a special black uniforms and a number 75 in the helmet, which is cool. That SMU game, we were talking about Tulsa. Tulsa, talking about coming back from behind. SMU was up 21-0, matches team's largest blown lead in the last 15 seasons. And now Tulsa is 3-0 when trailing 14 points this season for some odd reason. Liberty keeps putting up numbers. Willis, that QB, had 300 through the air with only 19 throws, too. So obviously a lot of them deep, three touchdowns. He also ran for almost 100 yards with two touchdowns. Like I said, they keep putting it up. And then, as we mentioned, the Raging Cajuns, third consecutive Sun Belt West title. Just to add a little on Frask, he's second in the FBS over the last 20 years with four passes in each of the first six games. The Indiana wide receiver keeps putting up numbers that Freifogel, I think it is, 11 catches, 200 yards, and two touchdowns. Just going off. And that's Sam Howell, 550 passing, six touchdowns, broke a single, record, single school record. The first half was just ridiculous of that game. Let me see where it's at here. Wake Forest, UNC have combined for almost 800 yards in the first half. The numbers that they put up in that freaking game. So here it is. 394 for Wake Forest, 388. And it was 35-24 at freaking half, dude. That's a high scoring game. Oh, that Western Michigan, they came back against Toledo and ended up winning on a fake spike. Throwing it kind of looked like Dan Marino back in the day for Miami. I think it was on a Monday night, if I'm not mistaken. Fake spike, dude's wide open. They ended up winning. But overall, a pretty damn, pretty fun weekend. The Gophers got their butt kicked. And look at this. The Gophers rushing yards allowed this year, 256, 281, 181, and 235 against Iowa. Iowa used three timeouts in the final seconds against the Gophers. They did that before too. It's like, what the hell, dude? Really? Are you guys already won the game? You do know that. Any other items from the week before we get into this really loaded week 12, especially in the Big Ten?
Oh yeah. And I texted you about this on that night actually. So just to wrap it up, I gotta hit my quota. I gotta hit it. Good old Lane Kiffin, the man. First of all, the boys won 59-42. There was no instant replay screw jobs like that against Auburn. They were down. Actually, it was a close game at half. Ole Miss was up 3.5 against South Carolina. But in case you remember, there was a play when Nick Saban and Kiffin were together at Bama where the Alabama quarterback was throwing a pass. And as the ball was like, the second the ball left the hands, wasn't even in the receiver's hands yet. Lane Kiffin, my guy, threw his hands up.
That was before the snap at Alabama.
Before the snap. See, that was a gif on Twitter, which you. There was a flashback of that because on this play against Ole Miss, I think Ole Miss was on about their own 12 or 15, something like that. The Ole Miss quarterback drops back to pass. And like the hands are up, the quarterback's dropping back. I think the pass is about to get thrown. And you see Lane start running down the sidelines. He chucked his playbook up literally when I was watching the game. I was like, is there some like debris on the field? Like, what is that thing that I just saw? Kiffin literally chucked up his playbook like 40 feet in the air and ran down to the 25 yard line of the other team. It was just classic Lane. And I know my co-host is like saying, dear God, why are we talking about this guy again? But it was a great video. It actually was like one of the top things on SportsCenter. So if you haven't seen it yet, go to Twitter, go to social media, just type in Lane Kiffin. Fucking, he is one of those things where he drew up his play. It worked. He saw it. Hands were up. He ran down the field and about the 50 yard line, you see this white thing pop up in the sky.
And that dude was just wide open, too.
Oh, it was one of those, his defense is really, really bad. But his offense, it gets going. He actually, his quarterback, Corral, I believe, threw for the most ever yards in SEC history. Like, we were talking about the numbers that Leach put up that first week at Miss State. I think Corral set the record for 536 passing yards. So, that offense is clicking. So just shout out to my boy. He had another fun celebration. I think an assistant actually had to go into the crowd because I think the playbook like flew into the crowd. So I just had to talk about him because it was a great, I'm sure that's a gift now too. So shout out to Kiffin. But that's it, Chris. Oh, and actually one more minor shout out. Credit to San Jose State. Again, we normally don't talk about them because they're normally just like a ho-hum school. But again, and like 4 to 5 years ago, if you ranked the 118 schools in college football, they were anywhere from 115 to 118. We're talking a dirt poor, like bum joke college football team, like one of the worst in the country consistently. They're now 4-0. I don't care how the hell good or bad you were, but if you're one of the worst teams in college football, period, and you're now 4-0, credit to that coaching staff and team and head coach, because, again, you still got to get people to come your way. You got to get kids to buy in. It takes a lot of effort. And, again, I know I mentioned this last week. Again, Saban and Dabo Swinney have earned their time too, but they're nowadays to the point where they get a lot of five-star recruits. And, like, you know, I don't think Alabama or Clemson were ever, like, at the bottom of the rung. So just shout at San Jose State. Dude, you're 4-0. You've probably not been 4-0. I think it was, like, since, like, 88 or something. So it's cool to see, Chris, that sometimes in college football, again, they're obviously not going to win a title. And I'm sure if they played a Big Ten or ACC or SEC schedule, they get murdered. But shout out to the little guys sometimes, because I think it shows a lot about a commitment to a college football team and sports that we truly love at the bottom of our heart, just to have such a turnaround, because I don't think many people saw that coming. So just a good-hearted college football story for you, and that's all I got to wrap up the week.
Well, and speaking of Ole Miss, they don't play defense in the SEC anymore anyway, so they won't need one, dude. You know what I mean?
I mean, speaking of Ole Miss, though,
I think Georgia's supposed to be the best defense, you know.
But I think good old Jimbo got a little scared of Lane, so that game's been postponed or rescheduled. But it's supposed to be good old Lane Kiffin against Jimbo Fisher, and Texas A&M's like, oh no, we got COVID, dude. Sorry. But my best friend did present the idea of, if Indiana got COVID this week, Ohio State game canceled. Move on. Is there a chance to get COVID on purpose to delay playing Ohio State and possibly run the table to go undefeated in the Big Ten?
I mean, at some point you're going to start messing up the TV contracts too, though. So I don't know. I doubt that that's the case.
I don't think. But it is weird though, because it seems like, Chris, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, but the Big Ten is just canceling and not rescheduling. Is that correct?
They can't. The Pac-12 and the Big Ten can't. There's no room for it.
Okay.
Because that's how it's set up.
Oh, you're right.
So they can't change it.
Oh, gotcha.
They have what they call a championship week to give all the teams in the Big Ten 9 games instead of 8, but that's already scheduled because that's part of the conference championship. So they're just going to look at both sides, and if you finish 5th on your side, you're going to face the 5th ranked guy or team on the other side.
Sure, and that'll be so fun too.
Kind of cool
for fans. You know? Yeah, agree.
Like, why not? But yeah, well, let's get into week 12 here. We have a variety of big games right now. There's 4 canceled games or postponed, canceled, whatever you want to say, as it sits right now. We'll go over a couple of these big ones, then we'll kind of dig deep into against the spread, or are you sure they can win by that much, or maybe an upset of the week type thing. I'll take the points type thing. Number 3, Ohio State versus number 9, Indiana. I'm looking at that 20.5 point spread, thinking, I wonder. Number 10, Northwestern. Number 10, Wisconsin versus number 19, Northwestern. 7.5 point spread there. And then Oklahoma and Oklahoma State. Oklahoma favored by 7. You never know with that. But let's start with the big one. Shall we? Ohio State and Indiana. Obviously, this kind of is to decide what's going to take place, you know, on that side of things, really, if you look at it. I mean, on the east side of the Big Ten, this is a big, big game. According to ESPN's Football Power Index, Ohio State has a 90% chance of winning this game, which is pretty good. But 20.5 points. Indiana actually has played pretty damn good defense. They lack a consistent run game per se. They're averaging 95 a game, you know, but they do throw it for 267. And they passing yards allowed is actually really low, 209, which tells you something there. Have they played a bunch of great quarterbacks? No, but then again, I mean, look at them so far this year, you know, 36-35 with that close win at Penn State, the Rutgers win, Michigan State, they look great. It's like they keep getting better each week rather than kind of unwielding or unwinding and, like we said, having a setback from being hung over from a big victory, especially when that first victory started with just inching that game out So that tells me something about this squad in general. They're not giving up a ton of rushing yards either. The problem is Ohio State is able to pass for 300 yards and run for 200 yards. We obviously know they're more talented, you know, on paper. How do you see this one playing out? And then what are you thinking about that spread? You think that's a fair spread, or are you kind of eyeballing that thinking, maybe Indiana, can sneak under that, even in a loss?
The last handful of years, whenever Ohio State's gone to Indiana, they've been really close games. So you could think, okay, well, hey, Indiana normally plays them kind of tight. But that's always been the perspective of you're the underdog. And like, this is kind of like, oh, like this is our chance. Now you're no longer the underdog. You're getting hype. Like you're the top dog and this is your chance to show. And I know it's a little bit of a difference, but if you remember about 3 or 4 years ago, I think this is going to kind of how this game is going to go. Vanderbilt was 3-0 and then they were facing Bama. And you're like, oh, like, you know, Vanderbilt's 3-0, like things are looking good. Now you got to play Bama. And Bama ran him out the damn gym. So I think that's where we're going to see Chris in this situation too. Like all the hype is on Indiana. They're the feel good story. You got to play a top dog. This is your chance. And I'm not saying they're going to lose like 49-0 like Vanderbilt did to Bama, but I do think it's going to be a beatdown just because all the angles to me would lean towards Ohio State. Indiana's due to fall apart. It's at Ohio State. You're going to have a slip up. Ohio State knows that this is a game we can't F around with because we need this game. If we lose this, we're screwed for our chance for a title. So I think this is a
And they have one less game, too. I forgot about that because they had a canceled game last week.
Yeah, so I think this is just a focused beatdown. Like, Indiana, you're having a good year, and if you lose this game, you're still having a good year. But I think that this is a game that's just going to be Indiana not being able to hang with Ohio State. Like, if you need a peak performance from them, I think we get it this game. I mean, they just, yeah, I would lean Indiana. No, I would lean Ohio State.
I was going to say what? That threw me off.
I think you're looking at like anywhere from like a 17 to a 24 point win. So I think that spread I wouldn't touch the spread. I would maybe tease it down a touchdown. I think that spread is around where I'd predict the win to be. But yes, I do think it'll be a pretty easy win. I'll take Ohio State. I would be shocked if they blew this game just because for the past 3 to 5 years, I mean, besides Bama, I would say Ohio State's been the most proven successful football team in the country.
And well, Clemson.
But I think Clemson? Ohio State.
They have 3 championships in that time you're talking about.
Let me finish my sentence.
I mean, come on, dude.
In regards of big games. For taking care of business in the regular season, because how often does Clemson really have to face a tough challenge in their conference? Like almost never. You know,
that's a shot at Miami is what I
sure.
see what you're doing.
Yeah. So they face more punches in the Big Ten each year. So yeah, I'll give them that credit. So, yeah, I expect Ohio State to win pretty easily, right around the spread.
So I am going to. I agree with what you're saying. Except I think Indiana will sneak under that 20. I think it'll be maybe 17, maybe 13. I think Ohio State's going to win, but I'm going to go underneath that 20.5, which may go up, maybe go down. I don't really know exactly what it's going to do. Northwestern against Wisconsin. Northwestern 4-0. They've played all their 4 games. According to ESPN's football power index, this one's a little bit better chance, 86-14, even though the spread comes down to 7.5 in favor of Wisconsin. Both of them can defend. One of them can put points up like crazy, and that's Wisconsin, who, sure, they've only had 2 games and they haven't been, against great, great, great teams or whatever, but I guess you could say the same thing about Northwestern. They put up 47 compared to 28. We always know the Badgers can run to a tune of 261 this year. Both teams can stop the run. This is going to be a competitive game. I do have Wisconsin winning this one. What is the over-under? I haven't seen it set right now on here. I could go check someplace else. But 7.5 points. How do you feel? I mean, maybe you think Northwestern is going to win, so I'll let you take it over from here. But I feel like they're also this is going to be a close game, but I could see maybe the last, say, 10 minutes, 6 minutes, where Wisconsin just wears them down and then maybe gets over that 7.5 points.
Yeah, I think these are two teams, Chris, that replicate each other in a lot of similar ways. Normally a very strong defense, a solid offense, more of a running game than a wide open passing attack. So I think that Northwestern's always kind of been like a little bit of the poor man's Wisconsin. Like they're, again, they're really, at least to me, always kind of been really similar built teams. But I think this year, at least so far, Wisconsin's offense has been at a different level. Now, in fairness, though, to see realistically, Wisconsin lit up Illinois and then had 3 weeks off to prep and destroyed Michigan. But what do we truly know about Wisconsin so far? You're now playing a team who's going to be well coached, motivated to play. These games are normally pretty close just because, again, you're not having normally too high of shootouts. But I'll take Wisconsin, but I think this is their biggest challenge they've had so far. So this young kid, Mertz, who's been taking the role by surprise, is going to have to play against the best team he's probably played so far, just from at least my prediction. So I think this game stays close. I think the Wisconsin wins, but I don't think this is another Badger blowout. Like I would look at taking the 7. I could see this being, like you said, a one possession game late. And Wisconsin does enough just because they have more skills, but this shouldn't be your typical, at least so far. I think Wisconsin have to earn this victory more so than some of the other games so far this year.
That's a good way to look at it. Okay, the other rank versus rank, number 14, Oklahoma State against number 18, Oklahoma. The Sooners are a favorite by 7. I'm assuming this one's going to be fairly high scoring. Obviously, we know Oklahoma's going to put up points. Not a ton of points on Oklahoma State, 28 per game. But they do run the ball a whole lot, whereas obviously they kind of mix it up at Oklahoma. They still, I mean, they average 165 a game, so it's not like they're running. They're not running, but they also throw the ball for 350 a game. TCU's probably, well, I was going to say their best win, but actually their best win is Texas in that 4 overtime game. I kind of forgot about that. For me, I'm kind of leaning minorly to an upset, which tells you that I feel pretty good that Oklahoma State is actually going to come under that 7.5. But Oklahoma's kind of waiting for that breakout game. They did, have that overtime, that 4 overtime game, but still Texas isn't some great team this year either. So that's the only thing that's holding me back from being super confident to pick Oklahoma State to pull the upset is because it's like, damn, it kind of feels like this might be Oklahoma's time to put on their best performance as an all-around team.
Yeah, and if you're Oklahoma, this is like your biggest game of the year left. I mean, you played Texas, you won. You got 2 losses, your national title hopes are over. Hell, almost your conference title hopes are possibly over. Like, this has to be the last game you're really circling on your schedule. It'd be like, hey, let's go and beat our rivals. Like, let's go embarrass them. And if you look at just statistically their offense, I know they've been playing some garbage ass teams, but their offense has really been clicking like on a good level, like we expected from Lincoln Riley. So maybe that's given Rattler some time to play some lesser opponents, understand Lincoln Riley's offense better, grow as a player. Like all the signs are going to the fact that Oklahoma is going to put in a really good effort, but we still know that Oklahoma's defense is horrible. That has not changed. And we know that
I don't think that's ever going to change.
No. And we do know that Oklahoma State, I would say, has the best defense in the Big 12. When Texas beat Oklahoma State, which canceled their chance, well, which hurt them for making the college football playoff, that was the third time in the past 20 years of college football where a team had outgained a team by 250 yards and lost the game. Like Oklahoma State had no business in hell losing that game to Texas. Their defense played really good. So I do think that, okay, you could say, hey, oh, Oklahoma's offense is the best in the conference, and that's a fair statement. But you're now playing a defense who's not like a doormat. Like, they're actually going to probably have the best game plan for Rattler, and we'll see what Lincoln Riley can do. Now, you could say, okay, this game's going to be a shootout, but I've watched Oklahoma State play a couple of times, and they do have one star receiver and one good running back, but their offense really has not gotten on fire this year. So
yeah,
I think we're going to see a little bit of a lower scoring game, because there was a couple of years there where Baker was quarterback, and dude, if you got up for a beer and like an appetizer out the fridge, like, you missed the touchdown. Like, I don't think we're getting that kind of bedlam game this year.
Yeah, it was like 70 over under almost every, you know, like four times a year, it'd be like 70, 75 over under, you know?
And if you're a smart man, you take the over.
Right, so, exactly. They could set that bitch at 82, and I'd be like, I don't know, man. I don't know, you know? I might go over.
I'm going to take Oklahoma State just because I think that they have a good defense, which you don't normally say in the Big 12. And you're playing a freshman quarterback who, again, has been putting up numbers, but when you're launching and ripping on Kansas, like, what's that really say about you? So I'll take Oak State to hopefully not be idiots like the Oregon's Texas and pull off the upset. I think I've, even with you, Chris, I think there's good value on the money line or even the spread. Like, Oklahoma State's going to try to run the ball. They have their one receiver. Hopefully, we'll see what he does. But yeah, I like Oklahoma State to win and to cover. I just think that the defense will cause Rattler problems. Again, Oklahoma's defense is going to give up 30 points to Oklahoma State anyway. So if they can tame Oklahoma for a little bit, then I think they'll pull off the win.
There you have it. And there are, like, the games under the radar, whether they're programs that you are more, you know, like, consistent with USC and Utah and that type of thing, or kind of like this one, Tulane, Tulsa. Tulsa's a 6-point favorite. Tulane, that's kind of an interesting style matchup. UCLA's got a pretty good quarterback. Maybe they can push Oregon potentially. But then it gets really interesting. Even like Coastal Carolina, that we've actually talked about a little bit, they got Appalachian State 6-1. They're only a 5.5-point favorite. I know that kind of sounds like, what games are we talking about here? But we're talking about the games under the radar, the hardcore barn burners. Number 7, Cincinnati, visiting Central Florida, 6-game spread or 6-point spread there. UCF is definitely capable of winning that game. Even Kansas State, if they showed up against Iowa State, maybe they could sneak under the 11-point favorite. I mean, NC State, that can put up a bunch of points, is going against Liberty. They're a 3.5-point favorite. Maybe you go with Liberty right there. And then I mentioned USC and Utah, 2.5 points. This one is going to be a damn close game too, USC, Utah.
Let me ask you a question, Chris. I normally would have a question segment for each, so last couple of years. And I've heard this proposed by people on ESPN too. It's kind of like a water cooler chat. If Cincinnati goes undefeated, do they deserve a chance to make the playoff this year?
You know, this year, I think so, because of the setup of the season. The one thing I'll say about Cincinnati, the quarterback has just kicked ass and all that. Their offense, they put up points, we know that. But their defense has been solid, and they put up some team, or they played some teams that could put up points. SMU, Memphis, like, they played some teams that could put up points. So, you know, I'm not in favor of expanding to 6-8 in general, but this year I do think getting it at least to 5 or 6 or 8, which would put Cincinnati in there. Yeah, I think you do. I think you do this year in particular.
I just think in college football, I mean, they gave up 20 points the first game of the year to Austin Peay. That was probably just like a who gives a shit game, but gave up 10 points to Army. You gave up 13 to SMU, 10 to Memphis, 10 to Houston, 17 to ECU. Like, this defense, besides the first game of the year, which was like a kind of like a non-division level game.
Well, and we can maybe check the stat. You know, maybe they had some people out on COVID too. We can check that. You know what I mean? But those three teams you went in a row, SMU, Memphis, and Houston, they could put up points.
Well, I don't know. The last time Memphis scored 10 points in an American game has to have been, it's been a minute, as the kids would now say nowadays. So, I mean,
you're talking about this year?
For this year, yeah.
Okay.
Just in general, for the most part, Memphis normally puts up 30 to 40 a game. Not every game, but for the most part, consistently, their defense will suck. I mean,
they put
up
50
but...
on Central Florida this year,
so,
2 weeks.
So I do think that this defense is legit. And again, are they Ohio State, Bama, Clemson worthy? Maybe they're not quite as good, but hell, this year they probably deserve a chance, because how often in college football do you actually brag about a team's defense? Like, no wonder they're undefeated. Like, your defense is pretty damn good. And I guess they're kind of lucky. Oh, they actually, okay, Tulsa got postponed. Tulsa's now their last game of the year. Okay. So they got at UCF. Then you got Temple. Temple's a doormat walkover win. Then you finish that Tulsa. So, yeah, hell, I'm with you, Chris. If they beat UCF, who's a top, well, I know they're a hell of a good team, and you beat Tulsa, like, dude, you're looking at, again, maybe not SEC caliber year, but you're looking at a pretty damn good season. I think for this would be the year where maybe a team could sneak in. I've heard some people suggested, hey, if they're not top four or five ranked now, are they ever going to be? But again, I don't know if that's the right answer. Like, okay, like, I don't know. I think you have to look in perspective of things. And like, I mean, their win losses and spectrum is probably just as solid as Notre Dame. I mean, I know Notre Dame has the one win against Clemson. But this is also a Notre Dame team who, for example, beat Louisville by 5 points. You know, so if we're talking wins and losses,
Clemson is gonna override that by a mile.
You're right. But I don't think people should just automatically cancel out Cincinnati's chances. I think you should give the team a chance. And again, if they can beat UCF, I know UCF isn't ranked, which kind of surprised me right now. But that is one of the top offenses in the country. Again, period. Doesn't matter what conference we're talking about. The UCF has been a juggernaut for a long time. So I think this will be their final true test for offense this year, because Tulsa is more of a defensive-based team like them. But if they can win this game, I think they shouldn't be creeping anywhere backwards. And, yeah, I think this will be fun. I'm actually going to watch that game, because you have the powerful offense against a lockdown defense. What does your gut say for that one, man? I'm going to take UCF. I think that the Cincinnati dream run comes to an end. I know I just asked you about the
title. So you just got done with this long thing, and then, oh, they're going to get beat, though, this weekend.
Well, I think that UCF draws up enough plays. But also, in fairness, I could look like a fool, because that Memphis-UCF game was 50-44. So if they shut down Memphis, who normally drop 50, they can easily do the same for UCF. I think this would be a great test if they do win. I think your defense goes from really, really good in my book to like four times really good. So what does your gut say for this one, bud?
How did they shut down Memphis by giving up 49 points?
Cincinnati's defense.
Oh, held them to 10.
Yeah.
Well, then that would actually hurt your UCF pick then. You know?
Well, I know I'm kind of all over the map. I think okay. Cincinnati
yeah,
is stable.
I think it's very possible, but yeah, that's why I kind of highlighted that game a little bit, because it is like you're looking at it going, UCF definitely could beat them. They could definitely beat them. I think Cincinnati will beat them, but it's going to be a tight game. This might be the one that knocks them out, but I'll go Cincinnati.
Fair enough. Yeah, I know I was playing both of the ways there, but I could easily see this. And again, it's just rare that this defense is just played hell of a, like, because in college football, hell, even – any offense, whether it's been anything that LSU or Bama's had, even no matter what your conference is, to hold teams to 10 points, that shows that they have a hell of a system going on there. So credit to them. And again, this will be the year where, as you've said on almost every episode of the podcast this year, Chris, that why not have a little bit of a different setup for the instead of the Final Four, maybe make it the Final Six. How we found out today that all of March Madness is going to be played in Indianapolis this year, probably. So again, it's a weird year for college sports. Don't feel, maybe the NCAA could let a couple teams get their chance in.
Yeah, definitely. All right. We're nearing an hour here. So there's going to be a lot, like I said, the underrated under low, I mean, Houston, SMU, a couple other games that are just hardcore barn burners. But there's a lot of them across the board, no doubt about it. I mean, even Penn State, Iowa. I know people don't want to hear about Penn State, but that's going to be a competitive game. I don't. I mean, I see like Purdue in Minnesota, which will probably be a competitive game, but I'm looking at that point spreads going, huh, are you sure about that? But let's shut this thing down, and unless you got some last words, we'll get to the crappy pick of the week.
Normally, like you would say, LSU Arkansas would be a fun game. It's a 1-point spread. As I get the crappy pick of the week ready for you, sir, what's your gut say for an LSU team who Coach O might be on the hot seat playing an Arkansas team who actually this year is having a nice little season?
What's the spread again? Sorry, I totally was moving on to something else.
LSU minus one at Arkansas.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly kind of what I'm highlighting. Like, there are some games where you're like, LSU could. It does seem like they have some distraction this week, though, because they have some off the field stuff and maybe within the staff stuff that's going on, not just COVID, by the way, but there is a potential alleged sexual harassment, sexual assault cover up potentially, and also a former player. There was a police brutality thing that I believe went his way, but they acted like it did. I don't know. I'm not trying to get too much detail, but there might be some distraction in LSU this week. But since they suck, let's move on. But you're right. It's a competitive game. Arkansas sure could actually win the game.
Fair. All right. Well, yeah, this week, holy shit, there's all the shit. Let's go with... Damn, this is all right. We're gonna use a repeat offender because the other team they're playing has been shit this year. We've not hit them yet, so we're actually going to a place where I was seeing a girl from last year. But my relationship from a year ago, I went to the city every weekend. We're going to Denton, Texas, which is a 45-minute drive up the road from me. The Rice Owls, who had the four doink kick, are traveling to Denton, Texas to play the North Texas Mean Green. Now, this game is at Apogee Stadium in Denton, Texas. Tickets are low as 25, which is super low. That might be the lowest we've seen all year, so they must really be struggling for fans. I think kind of tells you all you got to know about this game. Again, Rice was used earlier this year in the crappy pick of the week because they're Rice. But North Texas, if you look at their numbers, Chris, which you will soon, you're going to see that the Mean Green have some issues this year. This game is at 1 o'clock Central, ESPN3 as usual. Almost all of our games are always ESPN3. What does your gut say for the Mean Green against the Owls in a interstate Texas backyard matchup for one of your for your co-host?
Yeah, I mean, this is – so the Owls have – They didn't have a game until couldn't have been the conference thing. They didn't have a game until October 24th. Yeah. Wow. So they're only on their third game. So they've been shut down the last 2 weeks after a loss and a win, a healthy win over Southern Mississippi. 30-6, which that, you know, the squad they're going against actually did end up being in a shootout with them. But yeah, this definitely falls under the Mean Green. The Mean Green is not so mean on defense. They're giving up 44 points on defense. Now they score 39. So, I mean, that kind of has a way of leveling it out, but yeah, this is a good one. I mean, the Mean Green can run the ball. They're averaging 255 and somehow throwing for 338. How do you average 255 and throw for 338? That there's got to be something wrong there. The problem is they give up 243 on the ground and 306 through the air. So, yeah, this is not really a good look here. And they've had more games. They've been playing since they've had a little time off too now. At their skin. Oh wow, they haven't played since the 17th. They haven't played in a month. So they played five games and now haven't played in a month. Wow, this is a doozy. Holy shit. Over there in Apogee Stadium. Man. Whew, this is a tough one here. So did that happen to Rice that they had the bounce? I can't remember. It was, did they win? No, that happened to them, right? That happened to them. They lost. Rice lost that game, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go with the visiting team, the Rice Owls. I picked them against them last time. I'm not going to do it again. I learned my lesson, okay? I didn't realize. I mean, all they needed is one of those bounces to go their way. I'm going to go with the Owls, even though the Mean Green is going to be fun. This can be a high-scoring game, too. This can be high, but I'm going with the Rice Owls, the one of the best programs in baseball for college.
That is true. We will get to our battle of alumni. And I should have done this at first, but just to remind people again, when we pick these games, we are trying to find an awful matchup. But almost every time we pick a game, it either leads SportsCenter with something crazy or it's a close game. Last week, Chris, we didn't disappoint our people who followed us. We went the Baylor-Texas Tech game was a 24-23, pretty much like a fourth quarter stop at the end. Just to remind people, who was your pick last week for Baylor and Texas Tech?
I picked Baylor. I picked Baylor.
Just
you got to start tough, writing this down, dude. You got to start writing this down.
I know. So it was a one-point loss, which was a hell of an entertaining game. It's just back and forth. So you're going to get another close game. Chris has the Rice Owls locked in. We have done alumni for them, so I won't repeat that. But they do have a lot of star baseball players and a bunch of political people I've never heard of before. So to wrap up the show, we will hit on the North Texas alumni. Not much to brag about either. Nora Jones is the first name listed. If you ever watched Parks and Rec. No, I'm thinking of different. I'm thinking way different. Nora Jones is a singer. Yeah,
she's really good. She's got a good voice.
She actually has a good voice. Then we have Dr. Phil. Dr. Phil was from there. Joel Green from the Steelers back in the day was from there.
Mean Joe Green.
Then we got Stone Cold Steve Austin. Okay, I remember as a kid watching Monday Night Raw and seeing him slam beers and flick off Vince McMahon. Those were some good days of
living. North Texas is representing so far.
Meatloaf, one of the
Are you serious? Wow. Yeah. I had no clue.
Who else do we recognize here? I'll do the third row. Third row, there's always someone out there that shouldn't be on that list. It should be further up. Oh boy. I think the run is over. Oof. Well,
that's one of the impressive runs though that we've had on the show.
On the fourth page, Chris, Terry Bradshaw.
Wow.
What a slap in the face to a four-time quarterback, Super Bowl winner.
I mean, this is the deepest, I think. This is the deepest field we've seen ever.
And Maren Morris is a really good country singer. She's on the fourth page too. Like, these people with their alumni listings are just all out of whack. I don't get what we're. It's a slap in the face. And then the last person mentioned is Aaron Bradshaw, which I believe is of Terry Bradshaw's daughters listed on the last person for notable alumni. That's pretty. So we had a great singer, Dr. Phil, Mean Joe Green, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like that I'm tipping the cap to North Texas. So Chris has taken the Owls to win the football game, but for the battle of alumni, I know Rice has a lot of good baseball players. My boy Anthony Rendon, who helped my Nationals win a World Series. But credit, point to the North Texas alumni. They take the cake there. So, as Chris said, we actually have a lot of good matchups this week. Surprisingly, the Ohio State-Indiana game is 11 a.m. So you might have thought, hey, maybe that's like the game of the week, where let's have it at night. No, dude, that game's going on early. So you got to wake up, roll out of bed, have a Bloody Mary, get focused, turn that one on, because it should be a fun game. I think Indiana is going to fall apart near the end, but hell, if Indiana upsets Ohio State, dude, then we're talking about an underdog team that has a legit chance of making it. I suppose they might have to, because I don't know. We'll see. Something crazy is due to happen, because last week of college football is too calm. So until then, wear a mask. keep staying safe. The numbers are going out like crazy. Get your favorite drink and your favorite food. Stay inside. Watch football and family with your loved ones. We have Thanksgiving coming up. We want it to be a holiday where we all can enjoy and try to make the best out of it, from even though 2020 has been brutal. So the boys are out tonight. Thanks for listening. Peace.